Start your day at 208 Northwest London. Friday,
the 28th of October.
3rd of Cheshbon, 28th of October. Rabbi Dr. Samuel Landau, Shlita. Parsha theme.
Any particular title or just Parsha theme?
Do three types of love.
Three types of love is the title of the show.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be back at Torah Way. I want to do something a little bit different this morning, and that is to present a little theory that I've been developing over the past few months, and it's sort of grown along the way. And it really starts take you on the journey of how this developed, and hopefully we'll share some insights. Please do share your thoughts as well, whether you think it's right, maybe it could be improved, and we'll see how we go. So the initial question that started this topic of thought, this line of thought, is connected to the very end of this week's parasha. At the very end of this week's parasha, we meet for the first time in Torah Abraham and Sarah. And we'll talk about that meeting a little bit later on. And we know that each of the avos is megala to us some particular midah, that Abraham reveals to us the values of chesed, that Abraham in his life shows and reveals the idea of kindness, that he sits after his bris milah with the tent open on all four corners, ready to welcome guests despite the fact that he's in significant pain, that his whole life mission is to go out and to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the light of monotheism to the world. And whether that's in the Medrash or in the actual text itself, we see that that's his midah, the midah of chesed. Yitzchak is the midah of din, of strict judgment, of discipline. And maybe we see that most expressed in his experience with the Akedah, that whilst Avraham is challenged with the Akedah, and again we'll speak about challenges in just a moment, Yitzchak's mission there is to lie still, to submit to judgment, to submit to the din. And so we have these two polar opposites. There's Abraham at the extremes of chesed, and Yitzchak at the extremes of din. Now, when you live in an extreme, so there are aberrations as well. Sometimes it gets too extreme, and both of them have a child that is an extreme version of those middos. So Abraham has a Yishmael, who's an extreme chesed. The way that Hupera Adam, that he is a wild man, because he is thrusting energy out into the world in all directions. And the other extreme would be an Esav, who is extreme din. Everything has to be boxed. He's got his head in the right place, but everything has to be boxed in such a way, everything has to have a certain discipline to it, and there's no heart, there's no love. Then there is the building, the middle ground of those two avos and the third av in Yaakov Avinu, where we see MS or Tiferes. MS, truth, which is the combination of chesed and din, or Tiferes, which is the outward form of truth, which is beauty, glory. And the difference between the first two avos and the last av is that whilst the first two avos, who occupy extremes, they have a son that falls off, that goes too far. By Yaakov occupying the middle ground, even though there is a wobble amongst those sons, nevertheless, there is 12 Jewish sons at the end of the journey. Each of those middos is also tested. One of the reasons we know that that is their middah is because they push against it. You don't know what your real strength is until it's challenged. So each of those avos, their middos are also challenged. So the middah of chesed for Abraham is challenged with? The Akedah, absolutely. I'm a man of loving kindness. I want to give and give and give. And therefore the antithesis of my middah is to take away life. Not whose life? My son's life. The antithesis of din, I sometimes struggle with this one with Yitzchak, Maybe it's about giving of a bracha to a person he doesn't believe deserves it. He believes Esav deserves the bracha. He doesn't believe that Yaakov deserves the bracha. There could be a challenge there. Maybe that needs a little bit more thought. What's the opposite? What's the challenge that Yaakov has to face? He's the man of MS. He's the ish MS. Throughout his life, he has to lie and cheat. He cheats his father for the brachos. I have to understand that a bit better. He cheats Lavan for the flocks. And so we see that each of them is challenged to really hold true to their middah. Okay, that's a small introduction. We each know, therefore, we know that the Avos teach us a middah as individuals. But the Avos don't exist in isolation. The Avos exist as married couples. And so here was my question, my wonder. Do they teach us something about love or relationships? Not as a single individual, not as Abraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, but as Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and maybe Rachel and Leah. Do they teach us something about relationships, just as they teach us something as individuals? Do they teach us something in the context of their marriages? So I wasn't sure, I don't know. And so I'm going to build something today with you, which is to suggest that each of those Avos pairs, Avos and Imahos pairs, teach us something about relationships. And that there are three different types of relationships, and I'm going to link that both to Lishonos in Hebrew, as well as some psychological theory. So, I think there are three different words in Hebrew that describe a type of relationship. One is chaver, another one is re'ah or re'im, and the third is yedid. And each of those words has at its heart a different concept of love, a different concept of a relationship. So, let's go through those three, and then I'll take you to the psychological theory. And then we'll go back to the Avos and Imahos and see that there might be one other place where this is expressed. Chaver. What's the root of chaver? Friend, companion. Chibur. Connection. That there is a relationship which is built on connection. That we understand each other. We deeply understand each other. Now, that doesn't necessarily have any romantic overtones. You can have a chaver, a chavrusa. There's no romance, hopefully, with a chavrusa. There might be quite a great level of disagreement and argument, but there's a real sort of chavrusa shaft. You understand each other. You understand how your mind, each other's minds work. You know the way that you're going to navigate the sugya or the navigate life, the sugya of life, because you have a really deep soul connection. Okay, that's the first type of relationship. The next type of relationship would be re'ah or re'im. We wish that to a couple under the chuppah. This is the type of relationship that re'im ahuvim, we give them a bracha with the sheva brachas. What's the root of re'ah or re'im?
Not shaky.
That would be quite tricky. I had a hunch about this. I looked it up in one of the concordatias, and it Garrett backed up the hunch, which is what do we take sheep to do?
Roy
Esoin. We take them out to pasture. We take them out to shepherd. And so apparently the root of Reim is pasturing, shepherding. That's really interesting. What does a shepherd do? What's the role of a shepherd? A shepherd is something. A individual that cares for his flock or her flock, but also brings out the best in the flock. The shepherd isn't just there to stop the wolves and the dangers coming to the flock, it's also to raise a healthy, happy flock of sheep, because then they're going to be the most productive. So what is the role of Reim, of a Re'ah? The role of a Re'ah is to be a committed, intimate partner who brings out the best in the other person. And it's only through that deep commitment, that deep intimacy, that doesn't necessarily have to be passionate, but it's a real intimacy, it's a real connection to I care about you so much, I want to bring out the best in you. That's the second type of love. And the third type of love is yedid. So yedid, someone raised to me that, if you look at yedid, it's yad yad, hand in hand. And yedid, according to the Concordatio again, comes from the root dod, breast. So there's a real sort of nurturing, but also a real intimacy there, that yedid is a beloved. So it's a passionate type of love. So what I want to think about is whether these three types of love, as expressed in the words chaver, yedid, and re'ah, come through in the different relationships of the Avos and Imahos in their lives, and the real litmus test would be, I think each of the Avos and Imahos, them, not only are they tested as individuals, but their marriages are tested. And if we can see what their test in their marriage is, that might also then tell us how they really express this idea. But before we go there, let me tell you a bit about what psychology has to say about love, because I think it matches perfectly these three ideas. So there's not that much good theory about love out there in the psychological literature, but there was a man called Robert Sternberg who in the late 1980s produced his theory of love. And he said there were three components of love, almost like a triangle, and that each part of the triangle is a different component, and then you could combine those three different parts of love in four different ways. So you could have a double combination, and then you could also have a triple combination, giving you seven types of love. The three poles, the two sides, and then the center. So what are the three yesodos of love according to Robert Sternberg? The first is intimacy, which involves feeling of closeness, connectedness, and bondedness. We might call that Chaver. Passion, which involves feelings and desires that lead to attraction, romance, and intimacy, a marital intimacy. We might call that Yedid. And decision or commitment, which involves feelings that lead a person to remain with someone and move towards shared goals. Shared goals, a shared life vision, bringing out the best in each other. We might call that Reyim. And so then what Sternberg does is he just fleshes out that most relationships won't just be an isolated whole, just like when we have an av. An av is what's the concept of an av? You know, we have the avos in terms of parents, but also in the bavas, we've got avos in terms of concepts. We have an av that an av is a category. So why do we have avos who give us chesed, din, and emes? So why do we might have avos and imahos that give us yedid, chaver, and reim? It's because they are giving us principles, pure principles, that then we take an idea, we take it, and we apply it to us with the other parts as well. So how might you combine these three different yesodos into the seven different types of love? So if you only have chaver, if you only have intimacy or liking, so then that's friendship. This type of love is when intimacy or the intimacy or liking component is present, but feelings of passion or commitment are in the romantic sense are missing. Friendship love can also be the root of other forms of love. It can be a yesod. If we just have yedid, just passion by itself, it might be infatuation. Infatuation is characterized by feelings of lust and physical passion without liking and commitment. There's not been enough time for a deeper sense of intimacy, romantic love, or consummate love to develop. These may eventually arise after the infatuation phase. The initial infatuation is often very powerful. And finally, there's what he calls empty love, which is just about commitment. Empty love is characterized by commitment without passion or intimacy. At times, a strong love deteriorates into empty love, or the reverse may occur. Maybe in an arranged marriage, you might begin with empty love. You might just begin with commitment to each other. That's all we have. That's all we have. Like, I got engaged to my wife after 2 weeks. So I was committed to her. I'm not sure what else there was. But it was committed to something, and then the rest can follow. So, you know, I think maybe in Shidduchim this could be the case, that we begin with a commitment and the rest of the love grows over time. So, and then we add on the other types of love. By the way, we're really at this phase. I want you to maybe be wondering, which of those fields sounds like a particular av and ein couple? So when we're talking, because I think that each of those, there is a good lining up along those three parts of the different avos and imavos. Which one is for you, which Avin Aim characterizes Chaver, which one characterizes Yedid, and which one characterizes Reim? Now we start to combine them, okay? So if we were to combine intimacy like Chaver and Yedid and passion, then we'd get to romantic love according to Sternberg. So romantic love bonds people emotionally through intimacy and physical passion. And partners in this type of relationship have deep conversations that help them know intimate details about each other. They enjoy marital intimacy and affection, and these couples may be at the point where long-term commitment or future plans are still undecided. Then we have a different combination. So that was chaver and yedid. Here we have chaver and reim. So this is called companionate love. Companionate love is an intimate but non-passionate sort of love. It includes the intimacy or liking component and the commitment component of the triangle. It's stronger than friendship because there's a long-term commitment, but there's no real sort of marital desire. This type of love is often found in marriages where the passion has died, but the couple continues to have deep affection or a strong bond. This may also be viewed as the love between very close friends and family members. Two more types of love. Now it's yadid and reim, commitment and passion. It's called fatuous love. In this type of love, commitment and compassion are present, while intimacy or chaver is lacking. Fatuous love is typified by a whirlwind courtship in which passion motivates a commitment without the stabilizing influence of intimacy, of real connection. Often witnessing this leaves others confused about how the couple can be so impulsive to get together and to stay together. Unfortunately, such marriages often don't work out, and when they do, they chalk their success up to luck. And the final type of love is the combination of all three, which he calls consummate love, meaning all three coming together. You have your chaver, your yadid, and your reya. The consummate love is made up of all three components and is the total form of love. It represents an ideal relationship. Couples who experience this kind of love have great, long-lasting intimacy several years into their relationship, and they cannot imagine themselves with anyone else. They also cannot see themselves truly happy without their partners. They manage to overcome differences and face stressors together. Halavai, we should all have this type of love. I think it's a lifelong journey. But maybe something to think about in our own relationships is, you know, how much yadid do I have? How much chaver do I have? How much reya do I have right now? Maybe I can contribute a bit more to the relationship in that frame. So let's work through our Avos Ne'emayos couples. And this is maybe my hunch, and you've got to tell me whether you think it works for you or not. I think Avram and Sarah, let's just start. Well, I think it's reyim. I think that the first couple, it's the couple that have the type of relationship that we bench our young couples at their Sheva Brachos with. I think it's a love of commitment, of bringing out the best in each other, it doesn't necessarily have that chaver connectedness or that yadid, that passion, but I think it has that real sense of companionship and bringing out the best in each other. Where do we see that commitment to each other? Where do we see that? Well, maybe I could ask you an interesting question. Why is Avraham chosen by God to become the first ever Jew? Well, if I was to wake up in the middle of the night and say, why is Avraham the father of monotheism? Why is he the father? Why is he the beginning of the Jewish line, the first Hebrew? You say, what are you doing waking up in the middle of the night? But then you'd say, well, what would you say?
It's a poem.
Pardon?
It's a poem. How odd of God to choose the Jews. It wasn't odd. The Jews chose God. Avraham chose God.
Okay, so we know that there's a medrash that Avraham is standing and he's looking at this. He's looking at the sky and he thinks, you know, there's the sun and there's the moon, there's the clouds, and we see that each of those kochos in the bria they don't have full shlita, and it's actually who's in control? It must be God. And then there's the other one with his father is the idol manufacturer, and he goes around and he smashes all the idols, and he says, Dad, it was the big one, he smashed all the other ones, and he says, don't be silly, they're just idols, and he says, of course, they're just idols, you know, that's the point. But that isn't in the Torah, that's all Medrash. So the Torah doesn't have any commentary around that.
It does. The Apostle said, Ki Yedatev, that I love him because Ashleman Hashayt Savos Bonovus Boisir Acharov, I believe that there's a future there, that he will instruct future generations to carry on in the same way.
Okay, so there's some sense that he's going to be a force of continuity, but it doesn't. We're not necessarily. That's maybe an allusion to the Medrash. It's sort of like alluding to the fact that he has found out monotheism by himself. But what does the Torah itself tell us about why God chose Avraham?
Well, Avraham followed God's instruction to leave his home. He had this sort of faith in God, told him to go, and he went, leaving everything behind.
So he did answer the call of Lech Lecha. I suppose my question is, why would God ask Avraham to do Lech Lecha in the first place? Right, next week's parasha, we begin. God calls to Avraham, says Lech Lecha, and Avraham does, to his credit, respond with, yes, I'm going to go, I'm going to leave, you know, all the different safeties and securities that I have around me. But why would God call to Avraham in the first place? So what is the only thing the Torah tells us about Avraham before Lech Lecha? So at the end of this week's parasha, it's a slightly obscure part of the parasha. Okay, and it's for me it's a little bit exciting because it has the name of my daughter. My daughter's name is Yiska. So if you look at the end of the parasha, Perek Yud Aleph, and we get to Pasuk Chof Zayin. The Eila told us Terach. These are the generations of Terach. Terach holded as Avraham, as Nachor, as Haran, but Haran holded as Lot. So there was a man called Terach, and Terach had three sons, Avram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran had another son called Lot. What do we know, found out next? But Yamas Haran Apnei Terach. Haran dies whilst Terach is still alive, Aviv, his father, Be'eretz Moladato, Be'urkastim. By Yikach Avram, so what, so fine. The next thing we know, Terach's youngest son dies whilst Terach is still alive. What happens next? By Yikach Avram the Nahor Lahem Nashim. Avram and Nahor take for them wives. Shem Eshes Avram Sarai. Avram marries Sarai because she is a princess, Srara. Then Shem Eshes Nahor Milka Bas Haran. Avi Milka, Vavi Yiska. And the name of the wife of Nahor was Milka. What's remarkable about Milka? He's married the daughter of Haran. Haran is the brother that died. And Nahor has married his niece. And by the way, it's the father of Milcah, who's Haran was the father of Milcah. Haran was also the father of another daughter. So Haran had three children. He had Lot, Milcah, and Yiska. Why do we need to know about Yiska? So Rashi dings in over here. That was Sarai. So Rashi says that he's Sarah. And why is she called Yiska? Three different perishim on the first one, Hashem Shesucha Baruch HaKodesh. Yiska, like Liskot, is to see deeply. She was a Neviyah, she had Ruach HaKodesh. V'shahakol sochim v'yofiyah. Everyone used to look at her, she was so beautiful. So she had this divine insight, and people also used to look at her beauty. And the other one is, V'oit Yiska hu lashem Nesichus. Nesichus, it's a princess, she's a princess. Like Sara and Sara is his princess, so soon Yiska is a princess. K'mo Sara lashem Sara. The only thing we know about Avraham is that he takes a wife, he takes his niece, and that's why he's chosen. Why is he chosen? Well, the last thing, first of all, why is he marrying his niece? And so why is he marrying his niece, and what's it also got to do with what we're talking about over here? What do we know about the generation that just came before Avraham? Their mandate was, we want to make a name for ourselves, we want to make a tower so we can have an independent name. What's the opposite of having an independent name? It's to give of your name to somebody else. What is Avraham doing by taking his niece as his wife? He's performing something which we'll later on know as Lahakim Shem La'achiv, is Yibum, where you take a family member, this is a proto-form of Yibum, and you can see that the language lines up very beautifully between here, Dvarim, and Megillas Rus, where we also see that form of Yibum, and he's taking a proto-form of Yibum, and he's marrying his brother's daughter in order to maintain his dead brother's name in this world. He is committing to somebody else's name. He's doing the opposite of the tower. What is the thing, therefore, that Avram and Sarai coalesce around? They coalesce around bringing out the greatest in each other in a value that they hold, which is commitment to a commitment to a legacy that is beyond each of them. What is the thing that challenges their life together? And by the way, we see that they are in terms of the Midrashim, they are absolutely committed to each other's worldview. So Avraham was Makariv the men, Sarai is Makariv the women. They go through life and they're spreading this message. They are committed to expressing the legacy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and meaning that it's not about them. It's not about them, it's about what they represent, it's about the shame that is beyond them. It's about whether they're maintaining the memory of her father, his brother, or whether they're maintaining the shame of God in this world. That is what they're committed to, and that's how their marriage is built. What's the one challenge that most affects their marriage?
Childlessness.
Childlessness, and not only that, but whose child will be the shame? Because the conception of their marriage was, I'm going to marry you so we can maintain Haran. And Sarai, what's the first thing we know about her? She's barren. She can't have children. And then the whole of their Hishtalshalus is about who will inherit the name of Avraham. Will it be Lot? Will it be Yishmael? And clearly that relationship bringing, even though she wanted it, she thought that's going to be the way that, how can I support you? How can I bring out the best in you, my husband? Because I can't do it myself. So I will have to give you my maidservant, and she will have her child on my lap, and I will therefore be the surrogate mother. And that's the thing that then pulls them apart with Girish Ishmael, that it starts to break down the family. And it's only at the end they realize, no, the plan all along was what was the very first thing we hear about them. The plan all along was they were to have a child. Their commitment to a shame that is beyond them. Their commitment to bring out the best in each other. But they had a lot of diversions along the way. So, the first type of love, Avram and Sarah's Reim, is a commitment to each other to bring out the best in each other. What's the second type of love? Yitzchak and Rivka. I find their love, for me, it's about chibur, it's about a deep connection. There's some really, I feel like, some of the most deeply connected verses in the Torah are describing Yitzchak and Rivka. When she is coming and he is davening mincha in the field, and she covers herself, and he falls off the horse, and he brings her into his mother's home, and he feels consoled over the death of his mother. And then it gets even sort of, I think, more intense in the next parasha. And Parashas told us that we hear that the two of them are davening. They're davening opposite each other. And Rashi brings down the Medrash, they're standing in opposite corners of the room. Some people look at that as if they're disconnected. I think that's real connection, but in the absence of the intimacy, in the absence of that reyim, that companionship, it's just connection. We are both davening in synchronicity. We're not holding hands. We are not aligned in those other ways, but we are absolutely connected in a fundamental way. What's the one thing that challenges their relationship? Well, they have to disconnect about their kids. How many marriages are affected by arguments over children? It's that friendship, that trust in each other can be so undermined when mummy loves Yaakov and daddy loves Esau. And that chibur, that connection, starts to pull apart. And then the final type of love is yadid, it's passionate love. And here comes Yaakov, Superman, with Rachel at the well. Picking up a rock that no one else could pick up, kissing her, not very yeshivish, as soon as he meets her. It's passionate, it's exciting, it's love in its most intense form. He worked for 7 years, and to him it was just a matter of days. Because there's this intense excitement, there's this intense yadid and passion. And what's the one thing that challenges their passion? That on the wedding night that they worked for 7 years, that passion was going to find its final expression as the switcheroo, and Leah's there instead. So I wonder whether, in as much as the Avos in it are themselves sources to reveal to us three different types of midah, Chesed, Din, and Emes, I wonder whether the Av and Ein pegs are revealing to us Reya, Chaver, and Yadid. If they are, there might be one other time that we see this, not in our relationships with our partners, but also in our relationship with Hashem. So this was the ha'ara I had on Shemini Atzeres to the Shtikl Torah. There are three different times the Torah labels a Yontav as Atzeres. There are three different Atzereses in the Torah. There is Shemini Atzeres, there is Shvi Shel Pesach, and there's Shavuos. Three different Atzereses, and I think the common denominator amongst all three is that each of them is a yontiv where the primary mitzvah is not active. There's no like mitzvah hayoyim. There's no like, you don't shake the lulav on Shemini Atzeres. You don't have, it's no mitzvah to eat cheesecake on Shavuos. There are other mitzvahs for the Beis HaMikdash, but there's not a particular mitzvah hayoyim for me. And also on Shvi Shel Pesach, it's the one day that there's no like mitzvah seder night. There's no mitzvah assay of a chiyuv, of eating matzah necessarily. So it's a day of being rather than doing. These are yom tovim of being rather than doing. They're yom tovim of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than a mitzvah that brings an approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I think they all experience one of these different types of love in a more passionate, in a more intense way. Let's start with Shvi Shel Pesach. What happened on Shvi Shel Pesach? Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yom Suf is when the walls of water were around us and we had this intense, passionate connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesach is time of falling in love, it's Shir HaShirim. I think it's the time when we feel a Yedidus with Hashem. What's the Atzeres of Shavuos? Shavuos is getting married to Hashem. He's getting married. It's that beautiful sense of Reim, of bringing out the best in each other. And how do we know that he's bringing out the best in us? because he gives us a document that is going to bring out the best in us. It's called the Torah. What's Shmini Atzeres? The Shmini Atzeres is that last day with my old friend. We've had a long time together. I've been sitting with you. And I just, it's like when you see an old friend after a long time, you just don't want to let them go. You've been sitting and catching up, you don't want to let go. It's the chaver. So my bracha to us is that we should take these three types, these three yesodos, and apply them in their different ways. In our relationships with our loved ones, in our relationships with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we should bring these three types of love together and have that wonderful, consummate love. Amen.